the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I promised him that I'll serve him till I die. And I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I promised him that I'll serve him till I die. And I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Sing it now, church. Well, we're on the battlefield
for my Lord.
Oh, I'm on the battlefield
for my Lord.
Well, I promised him that I'm going to serve him till I die. And I'm on the battlefield for my Lord.
I was alone and idle. I was a sinner too. I heard a voice from heaven saying there is work to do. I took the master's hand and I joined this Christian band.
Oh, yes.
Now I'm on the battlefield.
Oh, praise the Lord. Let's sing about it now, church. We're on the battlefield for my Lord. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I promise him that I'm going to serve him till I die. And I'm on the battlefield for my Lord.
Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're on the battlefield tonight? How many of you are glad God has called you into this army? Praise the Lord. What a privilege it is once again to be back in the house of God. Glad you're here tonight. How many of you enjoyed services here over the weekend? Well, just tremendous, tremendous, outstanding services. And, well, we just thank the Lord for it. Thank God for this privilege to be back in church tonight. I believe God's going to give us another wonderful time here tonight in this service. How many of you come expecting something from the Lord? Well, we'll get exactly what we're expecting tonight, won't we? Amen. If you'll stand with me just for a few minutes, let's look at our prayer request. Certainly want to pray for Sister Carol Reagan tonight. Her aunt passed away over in Kentucky. Brother Donnie and her are there now. So we want to pray for that situation, those folks in Kentucky, and the Lord will just be with them, comfort their hearts during this time. Also, my brother-in-law, John Hambrick, he passed away last night. And I just appreciate if you'd remember those families in prayer as they go through this time of their life, that God will just wrap them in his arms and be with them and comfort their hearts. I want to pray for Brother Robert Dickinson, who has an infection in his foot. He can hardly walk. The doctors are going to be looking at him tomorrow and just praying that they'll find something that will be a remedy to his infection, that they can give him the right kind of medication. So let's remember him tonight. Prayer request for Dr. Charlie Ward, who has been really sick. We'll just commit that unto the Lord. Sister Irene Pierce says to please pray for my sister-in-law's mother. She's in the hospital in the intensive care unit, so we want to remember that need tonight. Brother Wade Altland wants us to remember his sister, Rita. She was diagnosed with bile duct cancer. She was sent home from the hospital today with kidney and liver not functioning any longer. Prayed that the Lord's will would be done in her situation. So let's just commit her unto the Lord tonight. Pray for Brother Wade and that family. Brother Nathan and Sister Heidi, they want to thank the Lord and thank you for your prayers. Eliza is feeling much better, and they want to praise the Lord that he has touched their child. And, well, we just thank the Lord with them tonight, don't we? If you have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about, we believe that we're serving a God that's more than able to meet our needs tonight. Let's sing that chorus together once, Once again, if you will, just before we do, turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord tonight. Praise the Lord. Play a little bit of it, brethren. Brother Samuel Shuffler has had a testimony tonight. I meant to write it down and was looking through my prayer request and just happened to think about it. But he wants to praise the Lord tonight also. He could have been very seriously injured today on a scooter accident. But could have been a very bad situation. But the Lord has seen fit to make him be able to be in the house of the Lord tonight without any injuries whatsoever. Somebody say praise the Lord for that. Amen. So we just thank God that He's very mindful of us. We're serving such a wonderful, wonderful Savior tonight. Brother Gene Lehman, why don't you come tonight, if you would, take us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these requests. Let's invite the presence of our Lord into this service tonight, that God would have His perfect divine will in all these situations. God bless you, buddy.
Just bow our heads tonight. Heavenly Father, as we approach you tonight, we want to welcome you into this service tonight, God. And Lord, that you'll have the uttermost seat in our lives today, God. We thank you today, God, that we serve a risen Savior. We serve one who knows and every care, Lord, that we have. Lord, every problem that we have. You're a problem bearer, Father. You're the one, God, that when we get in trouble, when we get to where, Lord, that we don't know where to turn to, we can always turn to you, God, because you're always there, and we don't want to put you last, God. We want to put you first, Lord, but some many times we try everything else before we try you, God. But I pray tonight, God, that our most ambition, God, would put you furthermost right up front, Lord, when we need you, God. We're talking about, Lord, healing. Lord, we're talking about request a prayer here, God, that you know each one, Lord, and you're a healer, God. You were stripped, God, Jesus, before. In Pilate's hall, you was beat unmerciful till your bones even showed through your body, God. But Lord, you died for that we might be healed. And Lord, here we stand tonight, God, knowing, God, that you are a healer. So we bring these requests to you tonight, Father. And God, that you'll reach down with your mighty hand and you'll touch each one of them, God. Lord, we got loved ones, Lord, that need uplifted. Lord, we got people here in this assembly that needs a touch in their body, Lord. We may be tired, God, and we may not feel like, Lord, that we can get in the service, but Lord, you can energize us tonight, God, that the Word of God will move and pick us up, Lord, and take us, Lord, to higher heights, God, in you tonight, Father, we pray. We just pray now your blessing on the service, Lord, upon each thing that's done or said. Bless, Lord, the preaching of the Word tonight, God. May it prick our hearts, Lord. May we, God, grow, and may we grow up in you, Lord. May we mature, Father. We're looking for a body change. We're looking for a rapture, God. And, Lord, we're looking for a mighty move of God now in this last time, Lord, that you'll just move, God, by your Word and unveil it, God, to us, Lord, that we'll be ready, God. It will be waiting for that great day, Lord. It won't be a great big surprise to us, Lord. We want to be looking for it, God. We want to be ready. We want to have on that garment, Father, that we need, Father, that when it gets time for us to get out here. So take this service now. Use it for your glory. We'll give you all the honor and glory for it in Jesus' name, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Gene. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Now, we've got a new piece of equipment over here, and the brothers are working very diligently to get it to sound the way it's supposed to. So just bear with them, bear with us, and we'll do the best we can. But I know one thing. We were born to serve the Lord. How many of you feel like you're serving your purpose as long as you're serving Him? Let's sing about it tonight, if you will.
For I was made in His likeness, created in His image. Oh, I was born to serve the Lord. And I know I can't deny Him. I'll always walk beside Him. For I was born to serve the Lord.
Sing that chorus again.
I was made in His likeness, created in His image. Oh, I was born to serve the Lord. And I know I can't deny Him. I'll always walk beside Him.
Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we're on the battlefield and we're born to serve the Lord. Let's just sing another little chorus tonight. Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Brother David preached a message here not long ago that if I forget all of the message, I'll never forget the title. The Day That Grace Became Amazing. Aren't you glad that there's a day in your life that grace really became amazing to you? For every one of us, there was a particular, certain spot that the grace of God became really amazing to our life. Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise tonight if you love Him. Follow your heart! Oh, praise the Lord! Somebody say hallelujah! Oh, it's amazing. How sweet the sound, oh, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, oh, but now
Yeah.
God bless you. You're just singing so good tonight. I'm going to let you be seated. We're going to have a couple of specials tonight. Brother Fred Green has a song for us. Then Sister Rachel and Sister Haley, they have a song for us tonight. So if all of them will come on to the platform, ladies, you'll be seated over here. Brother Fred, if you'd come, give us a song tonight. We'll go right on into the service. Let's pray for our singers tonight. We appreciate them, don't we?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
I travel down a lonely road, and no one seemed to care. The burden on my weary back had bowed me to despair. Oh, I oft complained to Jesus how folks were treating me. And then I heard him say so tenderly, my feet were all so weary upon the Calvary road. The cross became so heavy that I fell beneath the load. Be faithful, weary pilgrims, the morning I can see. Just lift your cross and follow close to me. I worked so hard for Jesus, I used to boast and say. I've sacrificed a lot of things just to walk this narrow way. Oh, I gave up fame and fortune, I'm worth a lot to thee. These are the words I heard him say to me. I left the throne in glory and counted it but loss. My hands were nailed in anger upon a cruel cross. But now we'll make the journey with your hand safe in mine. Just lift your cross and follow close to me. Oh Jesus, if I die upon my mission field someday, it would be no more than love demands, no less could I repay. No greater love hath a mortal man than for a friend to die. These are the words I heard him speak to me. If just a cup of water I place within your hands, then just a cup of water is all that I'll demand. But if by death to living they can thy glory see, I'll take my cross and follow close to thee. Sing that chorus with me. If just a cup of water I place in your hand, if just a cup of water is all
who feels like they've lost it all, over the edge with no one there to break their fall. What do you say to someone who feels so unloved? They're giving themselves away a little bit every day just to be good enough. And what do you say to a hopeless soul who can't remember their way home and everything is out of their control? There is no valley, there is no darkness, there is no sorrow greater than the grace of Jesus. And they're unsure what happens after their last breath and time. What do you say to someone who's built a wall you can't break through? And it's so hard for them to hear the truth. There is no valley. There is no
Amen. Brother Terry Horn's going to come bring us the word of the Lord. How many of you going to pray for our brother tonight? God will bless him. Just give him words that will be of a help to every one of us. How many of you need help tonight? Yeah, I'll raise my hands for them that don't, but I need help, 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 help. We all do. God bless you tonight. Brother Terry's going to come preach, and this guy's going to sing a chorus as he gets ready.
I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me.
Amen. He looked beyond my faults and saw what I desired, saw what I wanted. He saw my needs. I'm thankful that He is certainly a God of many things. He gives us more than we deserve. There's one thing He never fails and falls short on. Of course, He doesn't fail or fall short of anything, but He gives us the things that we have need of. He gives us what we have need of. I'm sure thankful for that. You happy to be in church tonight?
Yeah.
Are you lamenting because Brother Donnie's gone? Go ahead. I'm disappointed. Go ahead. That's enough. Let's have church. He's here. He's here. That's the good part about it. He's here. Whatever vessel that God would choose to use, if He can just get out of the way, then we'll have church tonight. I want you to turn with me to John 17. I'm going to read verse 24. I didn't get to finish the last time I spoke here on Christ's last will and testament, so I thought we'd just finish that up tonight. Is that okay? Okay. I'm going to do it anyway. That's all I brought. I have been so blessed by reading John 17, Jesus' prayer. It did so much for me, and I didn't get finished, and I think there's some things in here that, by the help of the Lord, I want to bring to you tonight. I think it will help you also. Tremendous prayer that the Lord Jesus prayed. Before He goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, He prayed this prayer. He finishes up His teachings. Well, let's read it. John 17, we'll just read one verse and then we'll pray. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, can we? Heavenly Father, it's been good. It is good. It's been good to be in the house of God just this short time. We have read the scripture. We have read one short verse. We could even dismiss and go home and say it's been good to be in the house of God. We've sung the songs of Zion. We've had a couple of specials. We've worshiped You, Lord. Now, of course, the most important part, the word of the Lord, the coming forth of the preaching of the gospel. I pray, God, that it'll be with power and demonstration, not only just a teaching, a lecturing, but, Lord, a service that we can pull on, that we can glean, that we can pull something out of the minister that would be of help and of benefit to us, Lord. We don't want just to have a protracted service, but we want to say it's been good to be in the house of God. It's been good to go to church. After all, we get to go to church. We got to go to church tonight. We're happy about that. Lord, please hide me behind the cross. I ask You, Lord, get me out of the way. Speak through these lips of clay that we might receive something tonight. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody says, Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Christ's last will and testament. Let's just kind of continue on. I am going to kind of recap just a few things, not too much of a foundation, but there's a few things I wanted to bring out of the verses that we had already read that I did not bring out before. And then we want to kind of finish up on the last five or six verses of John 17, which is Jesus is praying for his bride. Now, we know all through the Bible we read through the Bible that Satan's ambition, Satan's desire, I find especially in Isaiah 14 and 12, he talks about, I will ascend, I will exalt, I will sit, you know, I will be like the Most High. And we see through the Bible that Satan has a very subtle way of declaring his will. Now, he wants to be, and actually has achieved that, being the God of this world. I was telling Brother Louis before I come out, Satan has become the God of this evil age. This is his zenith. This is his paradise. This is his Garden of Eden. He has arrived, if you will, what he desired to be worshipped by millions and billions, as the prophet said, thinking they're worshiping the Lord Jesus. Now, Satan is the God of this world. He's the God of every nation. He rules every nation. He rules most of the denominations, and he rules a lot of people's lives, but there's one people that's a thorn in his flesh, that's the bride. And the devil can't stand it. Now, he's after everybody. He don't care. He don't care for nothing. But he really wants to get the bride, because he can't get God, but if he can get the closest thing that is to God, then that will help satisfy that sorry devil. Now, he is so selfish because Satan's whole theme is self-exaltation and self-elevation and self-gratification. That's why selfishness is of the devil. That's why I said when we live our life for others, we're looking heaven in the face. Because we know now, on the other hand now, Jesus' whole theme is St. John 5:19. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing within himself what he seeth the Father do. Jesus said, I can't do anything until I see a vision first. He had to see a vision. And what the Father desired, that's what the Lord Jesus did. So he had perfect denial. He had perfect, just the opposite of self-elevation. Jesus had perfect submission, perfect obedience. His head was his Father. He denied himself that he might do the will of the Father. Amen. He said, I even sanctify myself for your cause. So there we have the struggle. And truly it is a struggle. Satan chose the head. God chose the heart. Satan chose, as I said, the head. God chose the heart. And to Satan, he pulls through the flesh. God pulls through the heart. So the flesh is sticky. This body is unredeemed. This first nature is carnal. The heart has to be changed. Our soul has to be born again. The second nature is spiritual. We have to be changed, completely transferred. Transformed by the renewing of our mind. We've got to have a new birth. Altogether new. It's got to be a new birth. Changed. Absolutely changed. Christ's last will and testament. Now, his will for the earth and his will for us is exactly the same. The earth has to be purged. We have to be purged. Everything's got to be purged. The earth's got to be purged. Every person's got to be purged. Now, we, the bride, we take our purging now. We're purged by the Word. The foolish virgins, they have to be purged by giving their life during the tribulation. The 144,000, they got to be purged by giving their life in the tribulation. But everybody's going to be purged. I want to take my purging right now. Let me have it by the Word. Give me the Word. I don't want the tribulation. I don't want to be purged by that kind. But everything's going to be purged by fire. We're going to be purged by fire. Holy Ghost fire. The earth's going to be purged by fire. The foolish virgin's going to be purged by the fire of death. So are the 144,000. Give me my fire purging right now. I'll take mine right now. The purging. And it's going on right now. Well, why wouldn't somebody want to come to church? I want to come to church to get my purging. Give it to me right now. Give it to me right now. Let me purge right now. I don't want it then. I want it now. Purge it. Lord, scold me. Burn me. Change me. Mold me. Make me different. Bring me under submission. Get me in line. All that I need to do, let me get to that place. In John 16:25, we read these words down through about 33. Let's skip down. I'm actually going to skip several of my scriptures there because I don't want to hold you long. John 16:25, these things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. And at that day you shall ask in my name, and I shall say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you or on your behalf. Now, at some appointed time, Jesus is going to pray for his disciples. Verse 27, for the Father himself loveth you because he hath loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am coming to the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Verse 30, now watch, we're going to get back to this in just a minute. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe?" After all this time, he comes down to the end. He says, "Do you now believe?" Now, Jesus is now satisfied that they have the divine revelation, that they've caught the revelation. He says, verse 32, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, it is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own," that means to his own house, "and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." Verse 33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace, in the world you might have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." That's the last thoughts, that's the last words that Jesus spoke before he goes in that prayer and found in John 17. His ministry is finished as far as his teaching, his parables, his giving of exhortation, all that is done. Now he's going to this, John 17, to his prayer. But he says, "I have overcome the world." But isn't that a tremendous thought? The last thing he tells them in his teaching, he said, "I have overcome the world." The last phrase of the last verse, "I have overcome." That was before his betrayal, before his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, before his trial, before his beating, before his crucifixion. But he's making a declaration, "I have overcome the world." Even before he went through that, he's already declaring. That should tell us something right there. He said, "I have overcome." Brother, before your next sickness, you say, "I have already overcome. I'm already well. I'm already healed." Before it ever comes, "I'm already delivered. By his stripes, I'm already made well." I don't care if it hair lifts the devil. That's what the Word of God says. We stand on it. We believe it. We give God honor. Now, as we said, remember, 1 through 5 in John 17, the first 5 verses, he prays for himself, for himself. 6 through 19, he prays for his disciples. 20 through 26, he prays for his bride. Let's just recap just a few of these, and when we get, actually we want to finish out with the last 5 or 6 verses that he's praying for his bride. Just a couple, I'm going to bring a couple of things to you here. John 17, 2. "As thou hast given him power over the flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." As many as thou hast given him. How many? How many? 1, 2, 5, 10,000? 10,000? How many? Only the predestinated. All that's predestinated. That one scripture there alone proves predestination. All that the Father has given to me will come to me. Jesus said, "He that should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." Brother, that just coincides with Ephesians chapter 1, especially verse 4, 5, 11, 6, 11, 14, and 18. Ephesians 1, we have been predestinated to be conformed to the image of God. Glory! God chose his bride from the foundation of the world, but he loved humanity so much that he gave everybody, anybody who wanted to have a place in heaven somewhere, John 3:16, he gave them a chance. That's the God that I love. That's the God that I serve. That's a holy God. Yes, he chose his bride, but he gave them a chance too. Just to live outside the city would be a wonderful thing. Now, verse 4. Verse 4 says, "I tried to glorify thee on the earth, and I tried to finish the work which thou gavest me to do." Did I read that wrong? "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me. I have done it." There's nothing negative about the Lord Jesus. Hear me, friends. Hear me. There's nothing negative about the Lord Jesus. Because Jesus was the very epitome of faith, and faith is not negative. Faith has no reasoning. Faith has no doubt. Faith has no obstacles. Faith can overcome anything. The Word of God can defeat Satan at any time, any place, anywhere, under any circumstances. There is no doubt with God. Christians are always positive, never negative. And he said the whole of the Christian's experience is based on rest. After you're sealed in. Don't rest until you get sealed in. "I have done it." Christians are positive. Christ was positive. And if we're a Christian, we're to be Christ-like, then we're going to be positive too. Did you hear what I said? Christians are positive. Well, you say, I'm sick. By stripes, I'm healed. You say, I don't have any money. He can provide a fish. I can't pay my taxes. God will raise somebody up to help you. He'll do it some way. Brother Man says, the Queen of the South, he said, and Father, let us Christians, the one who's are strong in Christ, act like children of God, talk like children of God, positive on God's word, knowing what the Holy Ghost has done for us. Jesus knew what his purpose was on earth. That's why he could say, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gave me. It wasn't even finished yet, but it was already done. Amen. When the bride recognizes who she is, then the rapture will go. Jesus knew who he was. We got to know who we are. We got to know what our purpose is, why we're here, what I'm supposed to be doing. He said in the church age book, the bride knows what he wants done with the word. Amen. So let's get busy. Let's get to recognizing. That's why we need to go to church. Go to church. Go to church. Go to church. Hear the word of God. Hear the word of God. Pray for revelation. Pray for rhema. Pray that God open up our understanding. Give us, Lord, what we have need of day by day by day. Brother, it's a privilege to go to church. It's a joy to go to church. It's my life. It's a highlight of my week. I moved down here to go to church. I left all my family wherever they're at. Al left all our family up in Roanoke. We moved down here to go to church. We love church. We want to go to church. We're not saved by church, but we love to go to church. It's my life. Prophet of God said you can miss work. You can miss a day's work once in a while, but don't miss church. That's what he said. Verse 6. Here's another positive statement. Verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. He said, I have manifested that name. That means to manifest his character. His name is his character. His name is his nature. And Jesus said, I have manifested thy character, and I have manifested thy nature. Can we say that? Can we declare tonight, I have manifested thy nature. I have manifested thy character. Paul did. Paul, when he come down to the end of his journey, he said, I fought a good fight. He said, I finished my course. He said, I've kept the faith. Brother, we can get down to the end and say, I have fought the devils of Laodicea. I have fought them demon spirits. I have fought the unbelief and the lukewarmness of Laodicea. I can say, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've come to church. I've done what was right. To the best of my ability, I've done what's right. I try to do what's right. I try to live right. I try to live holy. I try to live separated. That's all works. I know that's all works, but that's what I love him so much. But Paul, he had that determination, he had that revelation, and he knew in his heart, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, not on me, for all those that love his appearing. Recognizing who you are. Paul knew who he was. He knew he had fought a good fight. He knew he had come down to the end and pleased God. Amen? I read this quote last time, but I want to read it again. Now, enticing spirits. Now I say today, any people that's really wanted to find God, they won't let no church dictate to them that they can't do this, that, or the other. You've got the nature of God. If you've got the nature of God in you, you'll go to holiness. You'll go to the right thing. You'll stand for the right thing. You'll do the right thing. You'll think the right thing. You'll live the right thing. If you're a duck, you like water. If you're a Christian, you like Christ. If you're a devil, you like the things of the devil. If you're a buzzard, you eat dead things. Come on now, church. If you love the word, you'll be in the house of God. If you love the word, you would feed on the things of the word. If you're a Christian, you do things that are Christians. Christians are separated. They're altogether different from the world. They're not like the world. They don't look like the world. They don't smell like the world. They don't look like the world. They're different from the world. If you're a buzzard, you eat dead things. If you're a pig, you root manure. Where are you at today? Right. You're claiming to be up here eating the things of the Lord and you go down and root with the devil. There's something wrong with it. Quit listening to them spirits. They're devils. No matter if you have to stand alone. Men and women that's ever amounted to anything nearly has been men and women who stood alone with God. Brother, if you're going to make the rapture, you're going to stand alone. You're going to be separated. You're not going to be well-liked and loved by the world. They don't have nothing to do with you. Well, if you really stand for holiness, if you really stand for what's right, but now you can be a halfway compromiser and you can get along just fine. Notice in Jesus' prayer, the word given or gave is used 17 times. Given or gave. 17 times. Sounds like repetition. Now, Jesus told us when we pray, don't use vain repetitions. But I assure you, not one of his was vain. Brother, I assure you, there's not one thing Jesus said was vain. Neither was it repetition in that manner. He had so many things that he wanted to thank God for, he needed to express them all. Brother, you know, if we could just apply that principle, I'll tell you what, our 5-minute prayers would cease. And our 10-minute prayers would cease. If we could just think of all the things that God has done for us, you'd hardly never get up off the prayer floor. Your knees would be wore out. Your breeches would have bags in the knees. Or your skirt would have bags in the knees. You'd be hours getting up. We sing the song, Count Your Many Blessings, See What God Has Done. You know, John F. Kennedy made that famous statement, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. I think we all apply that to what I can do for God, because I know what he's done for me. He does and he does and he does and he does and he does. What can I do for him? I tell you what you can do for him. You can believe his word. Abraham believed God and it was imputed for him for righteousness. And if you believe it, you live it. If you don't live it, then you don't believe it. Come on, brother, preach, Brother Terry. If you don't live it, you don't believe it. Because in America, we do what we want to. You live like you want to. You go where you want to. You eat what you want to. Pretty much do what you want to. Amen? Absolutely amen. So then you act the way you want to. And then if you're a prisoner, then you act like Christ. Now that's the difference. Now Jesus wanted to express in his prayer his enormous love for his children. Now the way that Jesus looks at his bride, we're his love gift from God. Amen. Now we know, you know, we feel like Jesus was God's love gift to us. But Jesus turns it around and he's thanking God for all them that God has given him. We are his love gift. That's why he looks at us. Oh, if we could just recognize how much God really loves you. If you could just have that one revelation, how much does God love you? How much has God, he called you out of denominations. He called you out of the world. He called you this glorious message. How much does he love you? And we whimsy-pamsy around and diddle-dall around and lukewarm this and lukewarm that. And how, what he did for us, he gave us his best. He gave us a messenger. He gave us the word. He gave us the restoration. He gave us all that he had. Save the best for last. Brother, we should love him. Oh, the way Jesus looks at his bride, how he loves his bride. That's why he said over and over, those that thou gavest me, those that thou gavest me, those that thou gavest me. How he thanked the Father for those that the Father gave us. Gave him, rather. Now verse 7. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. If we could just try to understand the nature of God, like when we do wrong and we ask God for forgiveness, how long does it take us? How long does it take God to forgive us when we ask forgiveness? A minute? 5 minutes? An hour? 7 days? How long does it take God to forgive us when we sincerely repent? Repent immediately. Well, then let me ask you, how long does it take you to forgive yourself? Oh, but that's different. But that's different. Well, then are we questioning the atonement and the blood of Jesus Christ? Are we questioning that? Why can't we forgive ourselves? Why can't we forgive ourselves? How long does it take? Well, sometimes a long time, sometimes weeks, sometimes days, sometimes even years. Do you know why? I'll tell you why. Because of Satan and because of memory. That's why you can't forgive yourself. Now, God don't deal with neither one of them. He don't deal with Satan, and he don't deal with memory because all of our sins and sin forgiveness, so he don't have no memory when it comes to my sin. So he don't have to deal with that at all. So then why should we deal with it? If it's under the blood, then why should we deal with it? Why should we carry guilt all the time? Brother Brown preached a message, and he said that pardon brings purity. Pardon brings purity. If you believe it's under the blood, then you've been made righteous. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's go a little farther. Now Jesus said, now they have known that all things that whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Now Jesus said that now they have known. That's in his prayer. Now I want to ask you, how long have the disciples known all things were of him? How long had they known that? How long? How long were they convinced that Jesus really, truly was that anointed Messiah? I'm going to tell you, probably about 15 minutes. Probably about 15 minutes or less. If you look back in John chapter 16, verse 28, you'll find out something. Look at the previous chapter, probably about 15 minutes. I'm just guessing, you know, whatever time span it was. John 16, 28, I came forth from the Father and now come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now, listen now, now we are sure that that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee by this. We believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Now, right after this, he goes into his prayer. So, probably about 15 minutes. Brother Bram said it this way, second seal. I like this. He commented on that. And even the apostles going along stumbled. Even the apostles going along stumbled. We know how the scripture goes. Then finally, at last, he said, now we believe. We believe that no man has to tell you, for you know all things. And I just like to see his face. He must have looked at them and said, well, do you now believe? Do you now believe? Finally it dawned on them. Finally it dawned on them. Well, it wasn't supposed to be maybe till that time, you see. And God works everything out just right, you know. I love him. You say, well, the apostles stumbled. There ain't no hope for me. Listen, they never got it. They never got the revelation by walking with Jesus, by fishing with Jesus, by eating with Jesus. They got the revelation from the Father the same way everybody else does. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed this to you. And upon this rock I'll build my church. Just because they walked with the Lord Jesus, that didn't mean one thing. The revelation, the rhema had to come from Almighty God. It must come from God. All revelation comes from God if it's true revelation. So just because you walk with him, that don't merit one thing. Actually, it's just more accountable. Finally, it dawned on them. Amen. It comes by rhema only, divine revelation. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. But by the rhema rock of revelation, I'll build my church. This is the hour of revelation. This is the hour of divine revelation. Wake up, brother, sister. Wake up. The hour is short. Listen, pray for revelation. Believe the revelation. Receive the revelation. Act upon the revelation. How many have really enjoyed these services that the prophet, that Brother Donnie's been bringing to us? By the help of the Lord and through the prophet's ministry. It's been tremendous. But this is not just here, it's around the world. God's getting his beautiful little bride ready for a rapture. Paul said, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's not even your faith, it's his faith. God gave you the faith even to be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not even yourself, it's a gift of God. You didn't even have the faith to be saved. God gave you the faith to be saved.
God called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees and gave and said, you're going to be a father of many nations, and your seed will be the seed as the sand of the seashore and the stars of heaven. And Abraham said, well, Father, whatever you say. And God looked at him and said, he's justified. Why? Because he believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. God just asked you to believe his word. That's the greatest honor that we can give to God, is believe his word and take him at his word. Glory. Amen. Finally, it dawned on them. They've been real believers for about 15 minutes. It's going to dawn on some of you out there, brothers and sisters, that we have the pearl of great price. Don't wait too long. We do have the pearl of great price. Don't pass it up. Don't miss your day of visitation. Don't get caught up in worldliness. You'll miss it. If you get caught up in worldliness, you will miss it. Brother Brown said the major sin of the day is worldliness. Fashions. Worldliness. Sports. Easy living. Free time. All this stuff. Movies. Theaters. All this sin and corruption. That's the worldliness of the day. Shun the appearance of evil. Get rid of it. Stay with God. Believe his word. If you want to be the bride, God expects holiness out of you. I'm going to say that again. If you want to be the bride, God expects holiness out of us. Now verse 11. Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Now Jesus is introducing his final and most paramount theme of his prayer. He's introducing the very theme of his prayer, the most important part of his prayer, that they may be one. Amen. That they may be one. Oneness. Oneness. Let's talk about oneness for just a few minutes. What is oneness? That they, which is us, may be one as Jesus and the Father were one. Now that's a great big challenge. It's a great big challenge. That's Jesus' prayer. And Jesus prayed that we be one. And you know, usually what Jesus prays, he usually gets. The only thing I know Jesus prayed for, he didn't get, when he said, Lord, let this cup pass from me. And I'm so glad he didn't get it. I'm so glad the Father said no. Sister Brown sang that song the other day. Mercy said no. Mercy said no. Mercy said no. God said no. You've got to die. You've got to suffer. You've got to pay the price. I've got some seed out there that's got to be redeemed. You've got to die for them. I'm glad he said, no, this cup cannot pass from you. There's no other way. You've got to go through with it. Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. Mary said one time, be it unto me according to thy word. That's the attitude of the bride. That's the attitude of the believer. Be it unto me according to thy word. Not my will, but thine be done. His will, not my will. Satan desires his will. We desire God's will. Verse 13. Now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have, speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Now that phrase, I speak in the world, actually, history tells us, I don't know if it's true, history tells us that what this phrase meant, that Jesus actually prayed verbally aloud so that his disciples could hear his prayer. Now, I don't know, but it could be, because he said, I speak in the world, and that's how they interpret that phrase. But brother, I want you to know one thing. If that was the case, and if I was standing there and heard Jesus pray, I believe I'd have shouted. I believe I'd have run. I believe I'd have danced. I believe I'd have, I don't know what I'd have done, but I think I would have had me a gastronomical jubilee, because Jesus kept saying, Father, those that thou hast given me, that thou hast given me. Oh God, hallelujah. I would like to have heard that. I would like to have been there to hear that. But you know, I wasn't there to hear that, but I heard it through the revelation of the word. I know that he's called my name. I know that I'm one of them that the Father gave him. He prayed for me that my faith wouldn't fail. Brother Louis, aren't you glad that he prayed for Peter? And I'm much like Peter. We kind of stick our feet in our mouth once in a while, don't we? Jesus said to Peter, Peter, Satan has desired to sift thee, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Well, I'm glad he prayed for Peter. But he not only prayed for him, he prayed for his bride. He prayed for you. I'm glad he did. Oh, brother, now, Jesus prayed, and I'm glad he did. Now, let's verses 20 through 26. Let's kind of just get down to the end. Verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Through their word. Now, that word is just logos. Through their word, that word is actually just logos. Now, we are the them. Neither I pray for these, but for them. That's who he's praying for now. He's praying for his bride these last six verses. But for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Because there are going to be people that's come after the written word has been written down through the ages. And we're going to believe on the Lord Jesus through their word. We have to believe what the apostles and the disciples, what the apostles wrote through their word. But you hear and read the word logos, but it's mixed with faith, which is revelation. It becomes rhema. Thank God that he sent his messengers to bring us the word. But pray for revelation that that word become living, anointing, pertinent to your very hour. Not just the big picture, but what you need specifically today. Revelation, that's what God does for you. We must believe God's messengers. St. John 13:20, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Amen. Now, oneness. Oneness. I just love this. Brother Bram used the word oneness 406 times. But most all the times he used the word oneness, he was actually just trying to differentiate a group of people. We say we're oneness, two-ness, three-ness, you know, this, that, assemblies of God, you know, whatever. But in 1957, he preached a message called Corinthians, Book of Correction. And we want to draw from some quotes there that's absolutely wonderful. And we're gonna learn something about oneness tonight. Okay? We're gonna learn something about oneness. Corinthians, Book of Corrections. This morning I was talking though, what now in closing I thought this, what is any sweeter than a man's life? What is any sweeter than to come home when he's tired and weary and his little bucket in his hand from working all day, plowing, whatever it might be. To walk in, have a lovely wife to meet him at the door. And sit down on his lap a minute. And brush his brow. And kiss him on the cheek. And put her arms around and say, dear, I know you're tired. You've worked so hard. And give him consolation. How that he knows that that arm around him is absolutely his. It's his. Never is it around any other man or any other desire. The kiss that's on his cheek is from a real, pure, holy heart that just loves him and him alone. How it makes you, I know, makes you stick out your chest and say, well, I'm not so tired after all. That's it. It does something to you. Listen, wives, if you don't do that, there's something wrong with your love. I'm going to say it again. Wives, if you don't do that, there's something wrong with your love. I don't think that ran over. Maybe you're going to try on this side. Wives, if you don't do that, there's something wrong with your love. Can I get an amen out of that? That's what he said. Charlie likes it. Yes, sir, buddy. I believe it. We are talking about oneness. We're going to find out something about oneness here tonight, brother, sister. Oneness. I hope you're listening. You're doing real good, like you said in marriage and divorce. Don't get up and leave. And don't turn your sets off. Remember, the Bible says, woman was made for man and not man for woman. That's the scripture. Shall we go further? Now in the beginning they were one. God, when he made man, he made him a dual person, both male and female. He separated him in the flesh. He put him here on earth in flesh. And the female part was still in spirit. Look, friends, God was so careful. Oh, how this, don't let it leave you. God never got a handful of dust and made an Eve, she'd been a different creation. She's not even a creation. She's a byproduct. And God goes over in the heart of Adam. This rib right under his heart. And takes his rib and makes the wife. And the very part of Adam's spirit was in the woman. And they too are one. Soul, body, spirit. They are one. They are perfect oneness. They are perfect oneness. They are perfect oneness. A real woman and a real husband, a real wife, they are one together. Listen to me, brother. If you don't get anything else, sister, they are one. You get a lesson from this, and then you'll get a lesson from the oneness with God. They are perfect oneness. A real woman and a real husband, a real wife. They are one together. What is it? A type of Christ. A type of Christ. Christ from out of his bosom. Not a byproduct, not a Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal hatch up. No, sir. But from out of his own heart, he took the sweetheart that's as pure, as loyal as she can be. She's as loyal as a lily. Listen, if your passion is not Christ, you're not born again. If your passion is not Jesus Christ, you've never received a birth. When you receive a new birth, you are a brand new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. You are a new creation. Your whole desire is Christ, the Word, His life, His love, everything. Your passion is now Christ. And if it's not Christ, you're not born again. It's time to get praying. You think God is going to take a bride, a sweetheart, a real bride from a flirter, a lukewarm? No, we're talking about the bride, the sweetheart, the one that's closest to him, the one that's in love with him, the one that desires him, the one that wants to serve him, the one that wants to be like him, the one that worships him, the one that's coming after taking his name. Not flirters. Wife, bride, sweetheart, one, oneness. It must be that way. Look back there. Solomon speaking, come, my love, let us walk in the pomegranates. Let us take our fill of love. And when the real believer opens his arms with a pure heart and holds up to Christ, that affection of that lover is of Christ, goes into his bosom as his wife, just like the husband does a real wife. How can you say you love Christ and love the things of the world? God will not marry a flirter or a worldly person. God will only marry one that's separated from the things of the world. Separated. What type of person should we be? Are we playing the harlot with Christ? Are we depending on some little something or running after the world and the things of the world and worldly minded and not the real love and devotion that we should have? Could you imagine my wife, brother, come up sitting on your lap with her little frickly frills and her little underskirts and things of lace and her little hair all done up and frickled up and everything like that, put her arms around and say, oh, John, I just love you. I love you. And you know then that there's something wrong. You haven't confidence in her, no matter how pretty she looks and how well she's fixed you. If you don't have that perfect confidence in her, there's something wrong. It doesn't satisfy that longing a man would have for his wife. And now just think of yourself fooling with the world and panging with the world and get down on your knees and say, oh, Lord Jesus, I love you. It's a burning Judas hypocritical kiss. God is not going to take a flirter. He's taking a bride, separated, devoted to him, consecrated. Altogether different from the world. Not a Laodicea, not a foolish virgin, a bride. One that loves him and loves him alone. Loves him alone. Oh, just think of it. Oh, I just love him. I don't want no burning Judas kiss. No, sir. Uh-uh. You know why the foolish virgins are called foolish virgins? This is a deep revelation. Because they're foolish. That's deep, isn't it? Foolish virgins. They're foolish. You know what a foolish man does? He knows what he should do, but he won't do it. It's iniquity. Knowing to do it, but you won't do it. They do foolish things. We knew better. We know better, but we don't do it. That's why they're called foolish virgins. They're foolish. I don't want to be foolish. He said, don't call no man a fool, but they act like a fool because they're foolish. Think of these things. There's revival coming out. See, you might have said, oh, you might have the wedding ring on. That's right. But you're not a wife. Oh, you might be a woman. You might be the lady of the house, but you're not a wife. If you act like that and you're not a real Christian, you're not a real genuine product of Christ, if you don't love Him and everything that you've got within you, I don't care whether you look pretty or whether you don't. You love Him and you express yourself. That's when you two become one. That's when Christ in the church, not by denomination, not by water baptism, not by sensation, not by nothing but real love. You are bought from the bosom of God when you were, He was wounded there. He bought you and your love and your trueness and your loyalty proves what you really are. See what I mean? Whether you're all frickled up, whether you're, don't care if my wife would never comb her hair, if she didn't wear a pretty dress, there never a day she'd be my sweetheart. I admire her because of her loyalty, her virtue, what she is, that's what she is. And by a Christian men, and by a Christian men and women, that's what we are in the sight of God. It's not because we go to the best church, not because you go to Happy Valley or any other church. It's because what your nature's been changed to. That we go to the best church or best dress, but we can get in this neighborhood or what we can do this, or we can ride in this, or we can do this. That doesn't have one thing to do with it. It's the virtue of our loyalty and our love to Christ, and that's the birth. That's the thing that comes, and though I speak with tongues, men and angels, I am nothing, though I feed the poor, though I give my goods to do all this, I am nothing. What does Christ care about what all you can do and what you can do like that? If a real genuine, if that real genuine love and loyalty isn't there, think of it, won't you? Real love and real loyalty. 39 years ago, I met this little lady down here, my wife. This December will be 39 years. Much of what I am today is because of her influence. I met her. We started dating. I was in the Air Force. She was in the Air Force. I'm going to skip a lot of this because I was going to tell you a little testimony, but I'll tell you this part of it because time's getting short. I asked her out and she said, okay, I was a sinner at the time. So I said, well, let's go down to the beach. She said, okay, we'll go down to the beach. She really didn't intend to go to the beach. She said, well, I'll meet you at CBPO. I was going to get paid that afternoon. I said, okay, I'll meet you there. Well, it was on a Friday afternoon, I think it was. So I was supposed to meet her at a certain time. I was there at a certain time. She never showed up. I waited 2 more hours. She never showed up. She never showed up at all. My first date got stood up. Never seen her for 2 weeks. She wasn't going to go to the beach anyway. So then I was in the chow line about 2 weeks later, and I had my back to the serving line, and I thought, where is this girl? Where is this girl? So one of the guys said, oh, there's that new, what they call them, WAF, Women's Air Force. There's that new WAF on base, and I looked around. Oh. I said, I was with 3 other guys. I said, excuse me, fellas, I got some unfinished business. I got up. I said, can I sit down with you? She said, well, sure, go ahead. I said, where are you been? Well, I did this, that, and the other, and I had a little wreck coming through Richmond and so forth. I had to get my car fixed. I said, okay, whatever. So, you know, then we started dating. We dated for a while. Then I had to go to England for 3 months on a rotation air flying airplanes over in, as a crew member in C-130s over to England. And, I think it was after I come back. Yeah, it was after I come back. We had gone home to Rocky Mount, Virginia to visit her parents, her mother actually. Father's passed away. And as we were coming back, and this is what I want to get to. As we were coming back, I had my truck. She was in her car. And as we were coming back, she followed me all the way back. And I was watching her in my rearview mirror. And I said, you know what? I love that woman. I love that girl. And I watched her all those miles for about 3 or 4 hours. We come through Richmond. And we got into some construction there and we got separated. For about an hour we got separated. I didn't know where she was. I knew she'd back there somewhere, but I couldn't see her in my rearview mirror.
You know what? And then about 45 minutes later, something like that, she finally pulled in right behind me. We kept on going. Something spoke to me right then. Said, when you get back to the base, you ask that woman to marry you. God told me, that's your wife right there. We got back to the base, and I said, come here, get in my truck. She said, okay. And I told her kind of what happened. And I asked her, I said, will you marry me? She said, well. And she said, well, yes. And she thought, you know, maybe in a couple of years. And I said, no, I don't mean a couple of years. I mean now. Well, yes. We got engaged on, I think, about the 16th. Got married December 7th, a couple of weeks later. Then I was gone overseas right after that for my second rotation. And gone. The first time I was gone, we were just dating. The second time, we were married, newlyweds. So she wrote me, and I wrote her. Now, I'm getting to a point of oneness. I tell you what, Sister Joy, I love that girl. I loved her. I still love her. I love her more than I ever have. And she wrote me letters, and I wrote her letters. I got all them letters. I saved every one of them. I'm almost 40 years old. I wrote her 27. She wrote me 26. I'm supposed to write more. I keep these bound together just as a symbol of our bond and unity of each other. That's how much I love her. Our love grows closer and closer all the time. Now, you people that probably know us, we're not no hypocrite. We love one another. We really love one another. And I want to tell you something. We can't have the right kind of bond and marriage and the right kind of unity unless we have the right kind of bond and unity with Christ. You have to have that unity with God to have that unity in a marriage. I remember when I was, when I first started dating her, I was just a sinner. And so of course, she goes to church. And I didn't care about going to church. So she said, well, if you're going to date me, you got to go to church. I said, that ain't no problem. That ain't no problem. I can suffer through 2 hours of church just to be with you. I don't care what the preacher says. I can suffer through 2 hours of church just to be with you. So I went to church with her. And you know what? After about the third service, I got under conviction. The old preacher, Assemblies of God preacher's name was Brother Godfrey. He preached hellfire and brimstone. Brother Jim, about the third service, I got under conviction so bad, I said, I either got to get in or get out. One or the other. Ain't coming back. I came back and I got in. And I've been in ever since. I've been in ever since. I gave my heart to the Lord when I was about 23 years old. The best thing ever happened to me. And I served Him the best that I could since I was 23 years old. I'm 61 today. But I keep these love letters. And I think for what they, I know what's inside of them. And what I wrote to her and what she wrote to me. I know what's inside. But you know, there's a greater love letter. That's this. I know what's inside this word, and I'm inside this word. I keep that love letter, and I keep these love letters. This is real oneness. This is that, which helps me to understand this and that. And as the scripture says, if this ain't that, let me keep this till that comes. Well, you know, this much could be said. Let me go on here. Find a place to close. You know, really why Alice and I have oneness together is because we both have oneness with God. Brother Bram said in a place some time back, I didn't look up the quote, but he said, you can't have the proper marriage unless you both have a proper relationship with Christ. It just can't be. I've said it before and I still believe it. If there's a divorce, one or both does not have a new birth. If two people are both born again, there will be no divorce. One or both does not have a new birth. Otherwise, there'll be no new birth. There'll be no divorce, rather. Two born again Christians are not going to divorce. Period. Period. John 17:21. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. A couple more quotes on oneness. That's God's purpose. And his purpose as Father Supreme was to be one with his family, earthly family, Adam and Eve. And the only way that they could be one with the family or with God was to become God, was because God's nature was in them. So that made them with God's nature in them, then with each other and God, they become all one. Isn't that a beautiful picture? God and his family, Father over all, supreme, no death, no sorrow, no headaches, no nothing, just joy unspeakable. Never to be sick, never to have a heartache, just one with God. What a picture! Because the very nature of God was in these people, and therefore what they did, they followed just in line with God. And God with them made them one. Also it said, now Jesus prayed in John the 17th chapter and 11th verse, to you who are put down these Sunday school texts. I have many of them this morning, John 17:11, we read it. Jesus prayed that the church, that he would be one like he and the Father were one. That's the church. We are members of the body of Christ. Would be one together just like he and the Father are one. And at that day we would know that he was in the Father in him, and he in us, and that together we were one. What a union! A oneness that would be to see God in his church till every member is just perfectly in harmony with each other and God. That's the church Jesus is coming for. Oneness! That's when his prayer will be answered. That we will be one. So one more quote on oneness, and then we'll get to verse 22 and verse 24, and we'll find a place to close. One more on oneness. I like this one. Paragraph 213. Adam, don't let me cry out to you. Don't listen to a lie of the devil anymore. Stay with God's word. It's thus saith the Lord. Stay with his word. To separate from it is breaking your fellowship. Stay with that, his word. To separate from it is breaking your fellowship with God. God's oneness by the Holy Spirit. Then if you say you've got the Holy Spirit and it's not in agreement with the word, then you're not oneness with God. Did you hear what he said? Then if you say you've got the Holy Spirit and it's not in agreement with the word, you're not in oneness with God. This is God's oneness. When you, the Spirit that you've got, agrees with the word and manifests the word and makes the word power to act the same way it did there. Not just the Logos. It's got to be the Rhema. It's got to be that power. It's got to be that revelation. It's got to be that personal application. Let's say it together. Oneness. Oneness. With God. Is to have. God's Spirit. In you. Agreeing with the word, all the word, the whole word, and to make it manifested in power. Glory! There you are. That's oneness with God. When that power works in me, works in you, we are one. Amen. Brother Kidd, when the power of the Holy Ghost is in me and in you, there's no disagreement. The word's there. It works. Amen. It makes it what it is. God made flesh in you by the word. The word made power among you. Every word. Now I'm going to have to skip something because my time is out. But we've got to close because we didn't get to it last time. We've got to get to verse 24. We can't close without verse 24. Verse 22, we'll just skip that because he talks about his glory. Brother Ben says we'll share in his glory. We won't share in his glory of sinless flesh or the incarnate God, but we will share in the glory of oneness. The glory of his oneness. We will. That's why Brother Ben said we are invited to share in his glory. The glory of his oneness. The word glory is used 8 times in this prayer. Christ glorified in God in his obedience, in his miracles, in his teaching, in his training of the disciples, in his sanctified life, and so forth. But we share in the glory of oneness. Verse 23, in them, thou and me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now, verse 24, and that's what we've been have these two services for, just for this last verse. I'm glad you stuck through it. Amen. Father! I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory
which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. The only place that Jesus is even ever recorded in the scripture that Jesus declared his will is John 17:24. Father, I will. He's declaring his will, the only place stated that we know of. Verse 24. What of all the things he could have desired, what does he desire? What does he ask of the Father? Father, I'm asking you just one thing. And that one thing is that all those that you have given me will be with me. That's what he asked for. That's what he desires. That thou hast given me, he's only asking for the predestinated seed. His request that they be with me. Why? That we may behold his glory in the eternal communion and fellowship. As the musicians come, listen, the ultimate goal of the bride's salvation is future glorification, which includes being with the Lord Jesus. Will Jesus have a corporal body? Will we see the man? We will see the man. Don't take that hope away from the believer. I want to see the man. I want to see the man that died for me, that took my sin, that was beaten, that was bruised. I want to see the man. I'm going to see the man. I've got an appointment to see that man, Christ Jesus. I'm going to see him. Hebrews 2:9-10 tells how this was made possible. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom all things and by whom things are, in bringing many sons unto glory, make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Christ's last will and testament is that his disciples and his bride enter into glory with him. He desired that we be with him. Isn't it wonderful that Christ declaring his will, he declared to the Father, Father, I'm just asking for one thing. All those that you've given me, just let them be with me. He asked for one thing. And you know what that one thing is? Eternal fellowship. Things that are to be. We'll close with this. Jesus only asked one thing in his prayer to the Father. You know what that was? One thing. After all of his sacrifice that he did on earth, the life that he lived, the path that he walked, he asked for one thing. That where I am, they may be also. He asked for our fellowship. That's the only thing he asked the Father in the prayer. Your companionship forever. Let's stand. That's what he desires. Brother David, that's what he desires. John, that's what he desires. Brothers and sisters, that's what he desires. He desires your companionship. I ask you, do you desire his companionship? Then I would ask you this, how much do you desire his companionship? Do you desire it enough to lay down the world and worldlyism? Do you desire it enough to, when you're tired, come to church anyway? Do you desire it enough to put God first, family second, and yourself third? Do you desire it that much? How much do you desire his fellowship? He desired your fellowship. How much do you desire his? Think on these things while we pray. Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the Word of God. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Lord Jesus, I'm so thankful you prayed for the Apostle Peter, but I'm more thankful you prayed for me. You prayed for me in that prayer. You prayed for your bride. You prayed for yourself, then you prayed for your apostles, but then you prayed for me. And I'm thankful, Lord, that you prayed and you asked the Father one thing, Father, that where I am, there they may be also. You wanted our fellowship. God, by your grace and by your election and by your appointment and by your actual mandate, this bride's going to be at that wedding supper. We'll be in the city. We'll be in the millennium. We'll be with you eternally. Father, I want to be part of that. I believe I'm part of that. But may my life be a life worthy of the gospel. May the things that are said tonight, God, I pray, God, we can take them deep into our hearts and realize that oneness that we should have, a husband and wife, the true, the right kind of oneness, fellowship. Lord, we married our wives, we married our husbands many, many years ago. We was in love then. We did run well. Well, what did hinder? What happened? Now that the love has grown cold, many fallen away, don't love one another like they should, but just, well, the old man, the old woman, shame on them. That's their sweetheart.
Abraham and Sarah were sweethearts all their life. God, may we be sweethearts together, and most of all, may we be eternal sweethearts with you. We ask, Lord, that you'll just bless these words in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Don't you want to see him?
Yes.
I want to see him. Maybe we can just sing that, when the battle's over, we're going to wear a crown. Can we sing that, Brother Harry? When the battle's over, we're going to wear a crown. Oh, when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Oh, we shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. In that new Jerusalem, we'll wear a crown.
Surround me, oh Lord.
Jesus with all of my heart. Brother Bram said one time, he said, this one thing I know, I love Jesus Christ. I've said it many times to several people here. What I see that more people really need is to fall in love with the Lord Jesus. I know Brother Donnie kind of covered that. I'm not talking about just fall in love with the glory of the man or say I fall in love with the Jesus of this Bible. That's all fine. I'm talking about falling in love with the person of Christ Jesus. And He is the Word of God. And He's a real person. He's a real man. He's alive. One day we're going to fall down and worship Him and sing to Him and love Him and be with Him eternally. God became flesh that I might live, that I don't have to go to hell. He took my place. I love Him for what He did for me. He gave me the greatest, the best thing of all, and that's eternal salvation. Not only just eternal salvation, is to have a place in heaven outside the city, but I get to live in the city, in the millennium, at the wedding supper. Get the greatest truth that's ever struck this earth. God, let me see it. I am eternally grateful. God, let me see this truth, Brother Bert. None of my family believe it. Why did He let me see it? Election. I thank Him for it. We're going to bow our heads for prayer. We'll be dismissed. Brother Harry's going to sing Christ Alone as our closing song as we go. But take these things that were said tonight. If you're not where you should be, may you get there. Say, well, Brother Tony said, we might have 10 years. Well, what if it's tomorrow? What if it's a secret catching away and we're just gone like that? Then you're left behind. Then you say, we'll weep and wail. I should have got down to business. Lord Jesus, as we dismiss, Lord, I'm thankful for Your prayer. I'm thankful that You prayed for Your apostles. You prayed for me. Thankful that You prayed for this bride that stands before me and around the world. I'm thankful for that. And God, I'm thankful that You desired one thing. That's my fellowship. And Lord, by reciprocation, I desire fellowship with You. I've had it for these years that I've been saved since I was 23, and I'm glad, and I believe I'll have it eternally. Take these broke up words, Lord, may they be sunk deep into the hearts of every individual. We might be thankful for what You've done. You give us the best that You had. You gave us Yourself and Your eternal word. God, may it not be just Logos, but may it become Rhema, a life worthy of the gospel. Grant it, Lord, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You're dismissed in the Lord. Harry, sing about Christ alone. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Christ alone will I glory, though I could pride myself in battles won. Blessed beyond measure, and by His strength alone I stop and count successes like diamonds in my hand. But those trophies could not equal to the grace by which I stand.